coming out, moving in today. This is Pastor Mike Online, and I am live with you today coming from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. I recorded the Watchmen video broadcast yesterday. Let's see if I can keep this straight. It's like part four of the Elements of Wrath, part two of Back to the Future, part six or seven or eight of Powers, part 25 of the Fourth Kingdom series. Got it? Something like that. It's hard to keep track of it. I know there's so much information, but I think we're living in the last times. I think we're living in days where the Bible said knowledge shall be increased. And, just think about it. Think about the idea that in, let's say, 1940. In 1940, oh my goodness, there is such thing as Sasquatch because he's right behind me. In 1940, people were reading the King James Bible, Psalm 139, in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance was fashioned when as yet there was none of them. And they did not have, I'm not saying they didn't have a clue, but how could they have known about the book of DNA? How could people have known that in 1940, 1930, 1920, 1910, 1800, 1611? How could people have known that? We know that now. We know that DNA, which is the book that God wrote in our cells, in the tabernacle, in the most holy place of the tabernacle, in our cells, is a book that has all of our members of our body written before they were formed, but they were in continuance in fashion. How could they have known that? We know it now. So knowledge is increasing right now. And I am finding myself trying to keep up with it. So I'm trying to read what I can. I'm trying to listen to what I can, study what I can, learn from the King James Bible. Somebody sent me an email a while ago wanting to know, they hear me use words like paradigm shift and a great awakening, and they hear me saying words like that. How come you're saying words like that? And I don't know if they meant it as a joke or if they meant it for real. I don't know. I don't know how they meant it. But I'm assuming they thought that I was trying to slip in New Age or newage concepts into my teaching. You have heard me mention paradigm shifts, great awakenings, second reformation. You've heard me talk about that because that's what the New Age movement is all about. That's what's it flowing like a river. Think about that. It's flowing in the churches. You're hearing about it. I read an article the other day about some new technological discovery that is going to be a paradigm shift. We are being inundated and flooded with this information from all corners, every area of life, medicine, technology, religion, politics, business, industry, banking, social networks. We're being flooded with New Age ideas and New Age concepts. And here is the absolutely amazing thing, is that a marginally educated human being like me looks into a 400 and some odd year old book and finds the meaning behind all of this stuff that's going on. I'm referencing not the New Atlantis, I'm referencing the King James Bible. So I recorded the Watchmen broadcast yesterday, which will be part two of Back to the Future. I'm still dealing with CERN. Since I recorded the previous one, I collected more information. I kind of compiled it together. I had props. I like it when I use props up on my desk. I had a prop yesterday and I used props. I'm trying to explain things that for the most part, our three-dimensional mind just, it has a hard time conceiving of these ideas and these images and these things that are going on around us that you and I cannot see. What is it that they're doing at CERN? And so I talked about that. It's almost a two-hour Watchmen broadcast. Lindsay is working on it right now to get it edited, rendered, delivered to you in a wonderful package so you can download it, watch it, view it, share it with others, whatever you want to make fun of it, throw darts at whatever you want to do with it. I get done recording the Watchman broadcast yesterday. 3 minutes later, I come in here and I sit down, and there is an email, Pastor Mike, watched Back to the Future. I watched it. I found this. And I'm going to show you a website that they sent me. Here's the premise. I mentioned last week and, well, last week, this week. Last week, this week is last week's this week. It's all about time travel. I mentioned in this week's Watchman broadcast and next week's Watchman broadcast, which is not here yet, but I've already done it. It's in the past and the future. That CERN is dabbling in witchcraft. I won't say just dabbling in it. CERN is performing witchcraft. They are performing high tech means and methods of, and you're going to see it next week, high-tech methods of opening a door, a gate that right now is locked, and they're trying to open a gate, a gateway, a doorway. Do your own research on it. Read Joshua 10, read Revelation 9, you know, and anything else that coincides with that in the Bible. Look at caves and pits and holes and everything else. Look at that and then go do some research on they are talking seriously about the ability to open up a doorway into time itself. So 3 minutes later, I come in here after recording the Watchman broadcast, and I wished I would have had this 2 hours before I did it, but I'm going to mention it today. I may bring it up in a future Watchman broadcast. This is what they sent me. They said, Pastor Mike, you were right. CERN is performing witchcraft. There is an article here. This is Radioactive Ion Beam Facility. CERN Accelerating Science. This is the CERN website, or a CERN website. It is isolde.web.cern.ch. This is an experiment that they are working on. It's called the Witch Experiment. Why did they name it that? And if you read this little article here, by the time you're done reading, you will have wished you would have gotten that 4 minutes back. Because you cannot understand anything that's good. The witch experiment has been set up for investigation of the weak interaction focusing on the B-N angular correlation coefficient A. This is determined by measuring the recoil energy distribution of daughter nuclei after B. It's like listening to Data on Star Trek talk. Or Spock. It's like listening to them. This is how these people talk. These people read articles like this and they salivate. They break out into a heavy sweat. They start wagging their tails and getting excited. But it's the witch experiment. That is telling to me. It's telling me that, yes, they are. Just look at it. CERN, go study CERN. CERN is, they have names like Atlas and of course, CERN and Shiva the Destroyer and programs like Witch and so on. There is a spiritual presence there. Let's open up I haven't done this in a while. Let's pop open a fresh can of King James here. And turn to Ephesians chapter 2. By the way, I've got a lot to do today. A lot to read to you. A lot of stories going on. Just leave it to Bieber. He had to post, I don't know if he's out yet or not, but he's in jail. Got busted. Bad. Who cares, right? Boy, if anybody needed Jesus Christ, it's Justin Bieber and all them adolescent girls and probably a few boys that heartthrob over him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Think Lazarus, all right? You're dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past, do you see that? In time past. I love the Bible. "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince," that is a principality, "the prince of the power of the air, the spirit," he is an airbender. That is one of the four elements of witchcraft, the power of the air. I ought to do four Watchmen broadcasts. I have an idea now. I ought to do four Watchmen broadcasts on the earth, wind, or air, fire, and water. I ought to do that. I guarantee you there's enough material. That's the beauty of what it is that we do as Watchmen and Bible students. It's like after you've read Tom Clancy, that was good. Can't wait for the next one to come out. After you read the King James Bible, you go, wow, that was amazing. Can't wait to read it again. Over and over, and I love it. But anyway, "according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Who is the children of disobedience? Well, it's not the reptilians. The children of disobedience is everybody who is lost. If you are lost and you do not have the indwelling, guiding Holy Spirit in your life, if you do not have that, there is a spirit that controls you. He dominates you. He tells you what to do. He illuminates you. He infuses your mind with ideas and visions and things like that. Where do you think these guys are getting their ideas from? Where did Tesla get his ideas from? Where did the Nazi scientists get their ideas on spacecraft from? Rocketry. Atomic weapons. And if you believe some of the stories, Velcro. Who was it? Francis Crick? Francis Crick admitted that during the 1950s, while him and Watson were doing the research on the model of DNA, that Francis Crick admitted that he was taking on a regular basis low doses of LSD. Why? He did it so that the creative side of his mind could properly visualize and be set free, could properly visualize the model that they were making of deoxyribonucleic acid, which just happens to look exactly like the ancient symbol of two coiled serpents around a pole. Just happens to look exactly like that. Who was it? Somebody named Narby. I've got his book. He was a researcher for pharmaceutical companies. Go down to Brazil all the time in the rainforest and talk to these witch doctors and tribesmen who would make up a tobacco concoction, down it real quickly, and go into a trance, and then start talking to the spirits. And the spirits would say, "Now, if you got a bad knee, take this root over here and do this over here." And he said all those spirits of like this plant and this animal, they all look like coiled snakes. Go figure. So there are spirits working on this right now. So when you see things like this, when you see the witch experiment being done at CERN, you get it. You understand. That's not just all these guys, they're just having a little fun, you know, just call it the witch, you know, which we know is not real. They're performing it. They're doing the witchcraft right now. So Lindsay's working on the Watchmen video broadcast as we are sprecken. So be prayerful of her and us as we try to get this information out. Here's an article here. White House petition to have Muslim holidays recognized in the school year. Okay, for all those who are out there who think there can be religious neutrality, I'm just making it clear there cannot be such a thing. It's called the myth of neutrality. Everyone falls under some religious ideology, whether it be Christianity, Islam, secular humanism, or even atheism. I heard the other day that there's this church that labeled themselves as the atheist church. They're having a church split over ideologies. They can't agree as to, I don't know what they can't agree on. Maybe they can't agree on as to which God doesn't exist. But they're having a church split. Anyway, with that said, there is a petition posted at the whitehouse.gov site calling for recognizing Muslim holidays during the school year by the government education system. According to the petition, with the growing population of Muslims in the United States of America, including first, second, third, and fourth generation, we believe it is high time that Muslim holidays are recognized by schools throughout this nation. Unfortunately, many Muslim families are forced to choose between their children's education and their religious obligations. Muslim school children and staff deserve the same benefits afforded to the followers of other faiths. We call on President Obama to support this petition and advance the inclusiveness of our great nation. Downfall. Can you say downfall? Here's one related to that. This is from Before It's News, which is not really... If I was going to bet on something, if I was going to bet on a particular news story being true, I probably wouldn't pick Before It's News. But here's what they said. President Barack Obama's religion is the government, and he uses it as a personal weapon. According to Dan Bongino, the ex-Secret Service agent running for the U.S. House seat from Maryland's 6th Congressional District, Obama isn't the closet Muslim everyone seems to think he is, because in reality, his religion is government, and he has declared jihad against his enemies. He said this on Newsmax TV, the Steve Malzberg Show. When your religion is government, you do anything to further that because it really relies on faith, doesn't rely on evidence. Obama uses government not as a political weapon. He uses it as a personal weapon against his enemy. I believe that. Punish those who don't support us. I believe that. The IRS scandal is evidence of that. If you think that El Presidente is not complicit in the IRS scandal, IRS targeting conservative groups, including conservative Christian groups, if you think that he's not, doesn't have something to do with it, if you think that him and his cronies and his ideologies do not have anything to do with that, think again. Here's another quote from him. Just like someone trying to tell you if you're a Christian, Jesus Christ didn't exist, it's your faith. It's his faith in government that despite the evidence, he sticks to it no matter what. Which, and you know what that means. It means he can't be counseled. He'll do whatever he wants to do. But the penalty's not real for him. He's got his own doctor in the White House. The penalty's for us. We're the ones getting punched in the face with the Affordable Care Act. He believes in his ideological quest, like we're the anointed ones and we're going to rule over your lives. And I'll tell you, that's not just Obama. That is anybody who is in religion or politics or big business or anything like that. A monopolization and a core centralized power. And it doesn't matter if it's IBM, General Electric, or Walmart. Walmart, oh yeah, they sell stuff, discounted prices. They're the country boys store and all that stuff. But Walmart has it as its goal to move in town and move everybody else out. Walmart wants to be the bank. They want to be the eye doctor. They want to be the hairdresser. They want to be everything in the world. They want to be the gas station. They want to be everything and cut everybody else out. Centralization. If you want it, got to get it from Walmart. If you want health care, got to get it from the government. If you listen to this one, here you go. If you want the real truth about who God is, you got to get it from the central core of the religions. You cannot get it from some guy out here outside the camp. You can't get it from there because we're trying to run him out of town. You have to get it from the mega church. You have to get it from the Christian leaders. You have to get it from the quote unquote Christian radio station. Noah Hutchings told me this a few years ago. I like Noah Hutchings. God is still on the throne. Noah Hutchings told me this several years ago. He said, Mike, he said, we used to be on 100 some odd stations across the country. I think it was E.F. Weber that started it. Hutch went to work for him. And Hutch is still going, 90 some odd years old. He's still, God is still on the throne and prayer changes. I mean, I love the guy. But anyway, he said what he started seeing, starting going all the way back to the 90s, was these independent AM, primarily AM Christian radio stations dotted all across the country, small towns and rural areas everywhere, even in big cities. He said these independent private radio stations, Christian radio stations, all of a sudden, the big guys like Bott and Crawford and others started buying them up. Buying them, taking control of the programming, because the big boys have got all the cool slick guys like Chuck Smith and Upchucks. And Joyce, and all of the cool, smooth guys, the Christian leaders who are going to tell everybody how they really should believe, and don't pay any attention to the guys out on the fringe with the King James Bible. Don't do that. So they started taking over, and all of a sudden, things that Hutch was saying, they didn't want him to say anymore. He couldn't say it. He'd been on a radio station for 40 years. Now he can't say stuff anymore. That's what's going on. I believe this article. I don't know the source, but it sounds right to me. Worst drought in the history of California is happening right now. Did you know that 2013 was the driest year ever recorded in the state of California? And did you know that so far this is the driest January that the state of California has ever experienced? You can Google an image of drought California, and there's an overhead image of the mountainous areas outside of California. This time, January last year, they're full of snow. January this year, they're full of brown. Whatever brown is, they're full of it. Kind of speaks to the whole nature of most of California anyway. Brown and full of it. Here's the statistics of California. California feeds the rest of the nation. State produces 99% of the artichokes in the grown in the U.S., 44% of asparagus, 1/5 of the cabbage, 2/3 of the carrots, 1/2 of the bell peppers, 89% of cauliflower, basically all the stuff that your kids won't touch with a 10-foot pole. But you grow old, you love it. 89% of the cauliflower, 90% of... I love broccoli. Broccoli and cheese. 95% of celery. Leafy greens, California's got the market cornered. 90% of the leaf lettuce we consume, along with 83% of romaine lettuce and 83% of fresh spinach, came from the big state of California on the left side of the map. California also cranks out 1/3 of the total fresh tomatoes consumed in the United States and 95% of ones destined for cans and other processing purposes. As for the fruit, 86% of the lemons, 1/4 of the oranges, 90% of avocados, 80-foot guacamole shortage. I can just see the newspaper headlines. 84% of the peaches, 88% of the fresh strawberries, 90% of the fresh plums. California. And you know what? if they would just live right, God make it rain. Let's see here. I didn't print that out for you. Let me put that to the side over here. That's for me to read and you to not read. Here's one from the big picture. Don't know if I believe it or not. It's going to be hard for me to read here. Hang on here. Obama appoints UFO disclosure advocate into administration. Signs of something to come. John Podesta was recently appointed as counselor to Barack Hussein. The 64-year-old former chief of staff to the Clinton administration will be dipping into matters that range from energy to food safety and border enforcement. And who knows, possibly UFO disclosure. According to the Washington Post, Podesta is, quote, one of the, let's see here, one of the Democrat Party's most seasoned and political operatives or policy operatives. He is also the founder of the Center for American professors and leading Democrat public policy organization. I mean, people are starting to believe that Democrats and Republicans are just two wings of the same bird and that the flight path doesn't change. I echo this and on and on and on. I want to see about the UFOs. In 2002, Podesta spoke. I got to take my glasses off here. The reading is so small. Spoke at a news conference held at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., where he urged the U.S. government to declassify UFO documents that are more than 25 years old. I'm skeptical about many things, including the nation or the notion that government always knows best and that the people can't be trusted with the truth. The time to pull the curtain back on this subject is long overdue. We have statements from the most credible sources, those in a position to know about a fascinating phenomenon, the nature of which is to be determined. John Podesta, taken from Leslie Keene's 2010 New York Times bestseller, UFOs, General Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. We will see. What else? There were some things I pulled up. No, that wasn't it. That was the witch thing. Some things going on at Drudge Report. Many satellites could form space cop traffic control system. U.S. scientists say they're working on many satellites that could function, quote, as space cops. That's got to be a movie. To help avoid collisions in space of satellites and space debris. Yeah, right. Space, many satellites hovering over us, taking pictures 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I get it. Speaking of California, Smith & Wesson to end most California sales due to micro-stamping regulation. On January 22nd, renowned gun maker Smith & Wesson joined Sturm, Ruger and Company, Ruger, by announcing it would cease California sales of its semi-automatic pistols due to micro-stamping requirements that went into effect last year. Ruger made the same announcement earlier this month. Micro-stamping is a requirement that each firearm be fitted with a special firing pin that leaves a fingerprint on a bullet casing, which differs from the fingerprint of every other firearm. In other words, every one of the wildly popular Smith & Wesson M&P 45 semi-automatic handguns would have to be manufactured in such a way so that no two of them left the same mark on a shell casing. The cost of doing this would be incredibly high to manufacture. And I want you to stop and think about this. The purpose, and they say now, we just, you know, in case they get in the hands of criminals and they fire the weapon and they leave, they didn't police their brass, we're going to pick it up and we're going to know what gun it came from. See, it's all for good, right? No. It's to make these guns cost too much money to either buy or sell. Hey, that's interesting. They want to mark the guns before they could buy or sell them. That's pretty interesting. We were talking in the pastor's office last night about in this area, in a town called Herculaneum. We never say Herculaneum. Herculaneum is about 6 miles north of here. We never say Herculaneum. We say Herky. Herculaneum had one of the nation's oldest and one of the most productive lead smelting plants in the country. Lead smelting, making things of lead. Making lead is what they did. What do you make bullets out of? Lead. I was told last night, maybe true, somebody might look this up, they closed the plant down, citing pollution concerns in this little community alongside the Mississippi River. So essentially, this is what I heard, they closed down the last American lead smelting plant. The last one. So where is our lead going to come from? Someplace else. My good friend, Pastor Reg Kelly, called yesterday. I am going to interview him live on a Pastor Mike Online broadcast in the future. His plant. Let me find his website. Let me do this. www.earthproduct.net. Is that it? Nope. Got it wrong. I gotta Google it now. Earth Outdoor is what it is. Yeah, Earth Outdoor, I think. Let me pull this up here. I'll show it to you. Anyway, him and his, here it is. Let me put this up on the screen for you. His family owns a business. And that business, I've been down there. It is absolutely amazing. When I say his family, it's Reg and his son, Zach, and I think his daughter works there, Hannah. But anyway, this is some of the things they do. Custom fabrication. They make these amazing outdoor wood furnaces. All these you can order online. But they also, let's see here, guns and ammo. Let's click that. He came up here at our God Guns and Liberty conference and announced that they were going to start making ammunition. It took him, you wouldn't believe the loops that they had to jump through to be able to do this. But they are in the process now. They are making ammunition. Here is a 55 grain 5.56 ammo, 500 rounds for $250. Here is 115 grain 9mm ammo, 50 rounds, $20. They manufacture this ammunition in Mountain Grove, Missouri. And so I'm going to call him and his plant manager, and we're going to do a little live discussion here on the Pastor Mike Online live broadcast. But and why is he doing this? You say, well, he's a pastor. He's supposed to be for peace. He is. He is like me. We are for peace. Sometimes peace has to be fought for. And you and I both, you can see down the road what they're doing. The goal is to either make guns or ammunition so difficult to manufacture, so hard to get the products for, to make it, that's gun control through the back door. You can't put in legislation that'll stop everybody from owning guns. And I want you to understand this. Those of you who say, well, I just prefer peace and I just don't go for all that gun stuff. I think we're, listen, I'm telling you something. The Apostle Paul told us to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Now, if you live in a country where you have never had the ability to arm yourself legally, I mean, I understand. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I understand. And you're still a Christian. I get it. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe the Bible. I'm there with you. But you need to understand something. America is the last holdout for not just every liberty, Bible liberty. The liberty to preach the gospel and to preach the doctrines of the scriptures without fear of being thrown in jail or fear of having your life and your property taken away from you. America is the last place. There are other nations that are still doing it. Praise the Lord. But they don't have the setup that we have here. We have the liberty. The liberty, they are going to take the liberty away. If you think that when they just say, well, no more guns, that's it, we're going to keep everybody safe. They say, well, okay, all the thugs are going to have to go underground and blah, 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 and everything's going to be fine. If you think they're not coming after your weapon, your Bible, you're crazy. You are. There's something not right about your thinking. If you think the devil is going to leave you and your Bible alone, and just take over everything else. So what is he wanting to defend? What are you wanting to defend? I'll be honest with you. I don't feel like standing up for a government that's doing this. I don't feel like defending a government. I feel like defending the liberty for me to say it is an abomination for a man to lie with another man. I can say that. I just said it. I'm not afraid of going to jail. Nobody's going to come. You in there, Hoggard? We found Area 52. We're coming for you. I'm not afraid of it. That's because right now in this country, most rural Americans are armed. And we know how to use them. We've been shooting squirrels and rabbits for years. And cans off of fence posts and the funnest thing to shoot is fill a gallon jug full of water and get a high-powered rifle and watch it as it just explodes everywhere. That's fun. If you've never done that one, if you've never shot up some old fire extinguishers with an SKS, you ain't had fun yet. But they're making bullets right now. And go to their website if you are so inclined and order from them. He is not paying me for this commercial interruption. He's not paying me for that. I'm doing this free of charge because I believe in what he's doing. I appreciate him. By the way, he's asked me to come down to his church and preach. I'm tickled to death. I am tickled to death. I get to go down there and preach. So you see me gone some Sunday morning, that's where I'm going to be, Norwood, Missouri, preaching at Liberty Faith Bible Church. Yeah, well, I got a call in from the guy that does his audio and all the media down there, so I got to return his call, but we'll have it recorded. It will be posted on Sermon Audio, and we're just going to have a good time down there. Here is, let me show you something else going on here. Let me find, somebody sent me, let me show you this. The Mindful Revolution. This is the lead article at Time Magazine. The article is finding peace in a stressed out, digitally dependent culture may just be a matter of, watch this, thinking differently. I think Joel Osteen is the writer of this article. I think. No, it's not. It's not Joel. But it's all about the exercising of the mind, the science of finding focus, opening up and shifting your paradigms and all of that stuff. There is, let's see if I can find it, a commercial from, somebody sent me this. Pastor, you'll get it. When you listen to it, you'll get it. So let me make some adjustments here so you can hear the audio. And I want you to take a look at this commercial. For Expedia.com, I think you'll get it. Listen to what it says. Go ahead, listen. What happened to my video?
Once upon a time, there was a boy who traveled to a faraway place, where villages floated on water and castles were houses. Dragons lurked.
Listen.
Giants stood tall.
Hear it?
And the good queen showed the boy it could all be real.
Whatever you can imagine, all in one place. Expedia, find yours.
There is a battle for your mind in the world. The spirit, by the way, in the research I did on the earth, air, fire, and water thing, each one of those elements, there's a spirit behind them. That's exactly what the Bible's telling you. And with each element, be it earth, air, fire, water, that spirit controls a certain realm of life, just like principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness, and high places. I'm telling you, the King James Bible is always going to be your guidebook of the truth. But one of the things I found out about the elements, the element of air, deals, and the spirit, the dragon behind this. Each element has a dragon, by the way. And listen to this. Each element has a watchtower. You ever heard that word before? But the element of air deals with the realm, are you ready? Deals with the realm of communication. It does. So Verizon comes out with a new ad slogan, Verizon, rule the air. And it was based absolutely upon the idea of the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And this spirit basically it's making advertisements, it's making movies, it's writing books, it's producing TV shows and cartoons and comic books and writing song lyrics and making music videos and giving Justin Bieber the high life. Literally, he got thrown in jail because he had been smoking dope all day long, so he was mega high. Drunk, and they got him for, he was in strip clubs all night, dropping $100 bills everywhere, having private rooms reserved for him at strip clubs. This is that kid that used to pray at all of his concerts. Remember that? That's the shame that they put Christianity through. Am I out of stories? Hang on. There was a couple more here. Hang on here. That was California. Yeah, I think I'm done. I think I'm done. I had mentioned that I was going to continue with the study of, you know, this kind of goes along with the idea of the elements and witchcraft and principalities and powers and so on. I started this on Tuesday. And told you I was going to finish it up today, and let's kind of move along with that. I know you're writing in emails, and I appreciate that. I don't want to just turn everybody away. I don't want to do that. But I want to kind of focus on some things that I think would benefit everybody. They help me. And even, and this is something that I've taught several years ago, but it helps me to kind of just go through principles again that I've learned, things that God has taught me, things that keep me where I need to be as a husband, as a father, as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says we are kept by the power of God. I get it. I absolutely get it. There is a way to the power of God. God's power has His will attached to it. And I am someone who needs protection. I need... My soul needs to be governed and protected by the wall of salvation. So if you remember, when we brought this up, let me go back here to, yeah, let me show you this. Let me go back to these verses.
Back to these verses.
Back to these verses. Back to these verses. Back to these verses. Back to these verses. Hang on. Got to make another adjustment here. There's a... thing that I do that's it either captures the audio or not captures the audio. So I got it. It's working now. But anyway, God teaches us what walls represent. They represent salvation. Salvation is a wall. It is a layer of protection that God places around a city, around a people, around the believer, around a church or ministry, or, you know, where any two of it. Think of the sheepfold. Think of the idea of the sheepfold. And Jesus uses the illustration of a sheepfold to basically tell his people, I'm going to protect you. If you stay in the sheepfold, you are protected. And I'm the door of the sheepfold. Me and DB are studying doors. I mean, I've been studying everything related to this portal that CERN wants to open up. Doors and gates and walls and things like that. Trying to get some understanding from the scriptures. Jesus said he was the door. And the wolf doesn't come in through the door. The wolf doesn't go, hey, got any sheep in there? Can I borrow a cup of lamb? He doesn't do that. He comes in some other way. Think about our attention and our focus. I've talked about this. Our attention and our focus is where God is. God is always front and center. He stands at the door and knocks to get our attention. And if we consciously make the decision, I'm going to open up to Christ and let him come in and sup with me and I with him. That's where Christ is. The Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist and the devil is not coming through the door, not through your attention, your focus. He's coming in some other way. He comes in through the side. He comes in places where he can find a little openness here. Because when we are focusing on something and we make decisions, we can say, okay, I want that. No, I don't want that. The enemy doesn't come in that way. He tries to come in some other way. And that's what I was kind of getting at. Isaiah 26:1, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Isaiah 60:18. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within, notice, within thy borders, inside of the borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. But notice that there is no more violence and no more destruction within thy borders. That's because there's a wall built. And God is using that, number one, to keep you in. Number two, he's using it to keep wolves out. Don't ever forget that. So here's what the walled city looks like. Here is what the devil wants to do. He wants to put a breach in those walls. He wants to put a little crack or a doorway or an entryway somehow, someway. Not through the main gate. Not through the main door. He wants to come in through a breach in there. So think of how your mind works. Think of your relationship between you and your spouse. You're never going to have another guy showing up, knocking on the door, saying, hey, can I take your wife out on a date? I got a room. Never, ever going to do that. Never. What is a man going to do if he's after your wife? He's going in some other way, isn't he? And he is, well, you know what he's doing? He's looking for a weakness in your wife to exploit. That's how it happens. Ladies, it's the same way with your husband. Ladies, did you know that there are areas of your life that are weak? Did you know that? So are there areas of your husband's life that are weak? He pretends to be strong. He can pretend that he can pick up the car and change the tire with one hand, check the oil with the other. But there are areas of your husband's life that he is weak in. Guys, if you love your wife, you will not further damage her weakness. You'll never do that if you really love your wife. If you really love your wife, you will, watch this, you will stand in the gap to protect your wife. You, as her mate, as her rock, as her shield, you will not ever go after your wife's weakness and blame all the problems on her. You will never do that. You will instead, where your wife is not stable, where she is not able, where she is weak, there are things that she cannot do, then it's your role to stand in that gap and be to her what she cannot be for herself. Does that make sense? That will solve a lot of problems in a marriage. How do I know? It fixed mine. When I realized that my wife was not a man with long hair, I could not understand why the simplest of things was turning her into what is this? It's like women all have an X chromosome. Men have one chromosome different. It's a Y chromosome, because about half of what our wives do, we go, why? Why? But God showed me that my wife was not cut out for certain things and that she's weak in certain areas. And if I loved her, I wasn't going to further damage her in the weak areas or for the weak areas. It was my responsibility to go stand in the gap for her and do for her what she could not do for herself. Ladies, same principle. God made your husband very strong in some areas, but he is weak in others. You don't ask your husband to go pick out drapes. You know, it's a simple illustration, but you don't, honey, go to such and such store. Just, you know, pick out something really, pick out what I want for the house. I'll do that. But you don't knock him because he doesn't have the ability that you have. But there are other more significant weaknesses in your husband's life. If you loved your husband, you will not further destroy him by way or by reason of those weaknesses. You won't. You will be strong for him when he cannot be strong for himself. You do what you want to with your marriage. It's your marriage. But these are principles that God has helped me and my sweetie pie with, or we wouldn't be me and sweetie pie today. It's very simple. So God has helped us. Same thing with your children. The longer I know these human beings that came out of my body, the more I understand their strengths and their weaknesses. as a father raising them and disciplining them, it is my job to try to encourage the strength as much as possible, but to also to try to train them to avoid or strengthen the weaknesses, but then ultimately to rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ for everything. That's what I'm supposed to do as a dad. So that principle, I mean, there is not an area of life that this does not dwell in, that this is not true in. Husbands and wives, moms and dads, children, a church. It is the role of a pastor is to be strong in areas where people in my church are weak. That's my job. There are people who need help, people who cannot do things. There are people in my church who don't really understand certain things from the Bible. It's not that they don't try. It's just that it's kind of hard for them. So my job is to not say, "What is wrong with you idiots? You stupid people in my church. What is wrong with you? Why don't you know what I..." That's not my job. I know pastors that do that. It's my job to be strong where they are weak and to try to do as much as I can to explain to them the profound simplicity of the Scriptures. But likewise, my church should know after, 17 years of being here, they should know that I am weak in certain areas of the ministry, the pastorate. There's some things I cannot do very well at all. I look at other pastors and I go, "God, why didn't you make me like that? That's what I want to be." It's not my nature. And so a good church, and I believe I have a good church says, "You know what? This needs to be done. Our pastor, you know, bless his heart, he's good for some things, but there's just some things he can't do, and I don't hate him for it. You know what? It needs to be done. Hey, come on over here. We're going to do this. This needs to be done. Pastor's busy. He can't do it. We're going to go do this." That's what a good church does. They don't exploit each other's weaknesses and use it for leverage and political power and everything like that in a church. And that stuff goes on, and it makes me sick to see it go on. But that's what a good church does for each other. That's what brothers and sisters do. That's what family does. It's what the body of Christ is supposed to do for each other. We're supposed to understand that everybody has strengths and everybody has weaknesses, and there are going to be breaches in the body of Christ. There are going to be areas where people cannot deal well. And in those areas, principalities will step in. Powers will come in and take over. Rulers of darkness, they'll come in through some other way, and spiritual wickedness will gain control. They want here on the inside a believer, a home, a church, or a nation, or a ministry, or a denomination. This ministry needs to be protected. Because if we don't protect this ministry, will be the laughing stock like all of these other ministries are, and I don't want that. Could it happen? It could happen here like it happens everywhere else. I don't want that. So here's what God is teaching us. The devil wants to sit in the midst of the congregation. We covered that. So they move into the gaps. So look at what Job said. Oh, we talked about this. He breaketh upon me. This is the enemy. He breaketh upon me with breach upon breach. He's just keeps pounding and pounding. He runneth upon me like a giant. And then in Isaiah chapter 7, it'll change in a minute. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 5, because Syria, watch this now. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah. Let's do something. Let's count. One. Oh, lost it. What happened? Don't panic. I'm still in control here. There we go. Nope, that ain't it. Here we go. I went to the next slide. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah. One, two, three. What do you see here? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel. You know what that is? That's a conspiracy. They had a meeting, and they were at the G12 summit. They were at the Bilderberg Hotel. They were at the Vatican, and they had a meeting, and they took evil counsel against Judah. Judah is number four. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah. Against Judah, number four. Let us go up against Judah and vex it. You know what that vexation is? Let me go back to this. Let me go back to this verse here in where was it? In Job. Yeah, he breaketh upon me with breach upon breach. We're going to pound, and we're going to keep pounding and vex it until we get in. We're not going to stop chipping away. First movie I ever saw by myself when I was a young man at the theater, at the movie house, was Escape from Alcatraz. Clint Eastwood. You know what he did? He found, and this is based on a true story, he found out that the salt air of Alcatraz had weakened the concrete around a heat vent in his floor. And he sat there with some kind of little metal tool. I don't know how long it took him, but he just chipped away. Chip, 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 chip. Until he made himself an opening big enough to crawl through and escaped. That's how it works. They're going to keep vexing you. They're going to keep working on you. They're going to keep chipping away at your armor, chipping away at the wall. Chipping. Hey, watch this. Salvation is by grace through what? Faith. What are they going to chip against? Your faith. Your faith is the shield. It is the barrier. It is your faith that says, I believe every word in this book. Every word is right. I don't have to change anything. I don't have to update the language. I don't have to go to the original Greek and Hebrew, which is going backwards as far as I'm concerned. I don't have to do that. All I have to do is read it and believe what it says without what everybody else told me to believe about what it says. That's all I have to do is just believe that God is not a liar and his seed is incorruptible. That's what I believe. I believe I have a shield that's called faith. And when I get attacked, I just hold up the shield and it goes, ba-ding! And I'm going, that was cool. Ba-ding! Ba-ding! Wow, this is cool. That's what we do. But the devil loves to use your neighbors, your family members, people across the world, wherever. He loves to chip away at your faith. Maybe this word, you know, Pastor, I believe most of the King James is right, but there's a few places where I can definitely see that they made a mistake in translating. And I can see that. I believe that's really true. You know what the devil did? Chip, 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 chip. And it starts out with one word being wrong. And of course, if there's one word wrong, maybe there's two words wrong. Well, then, you know, maybe three or four. And then by the time you're done going through it all, you're going, my goodness, this thing is stupid. I'm going to read some other Bible, or I'm going to do something different. Oh, God is here. That's what happens. So here, watch this. Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it. We're going to keep knocking at their faith. We're going to destroy it of it. We're going to slip in the wall, the shield of faith. And let us make a breach therein for us. And then set a king where? In the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. So here it is. They slipped in. They vexed. Power started vexing here. Principalities. Let's say that your son or your daughter grew up and he was taught to respect his parents. And if mom and dad said it, that's it. If mom and dad said, we're getting up, we're going to church, you went to church. Mom and dad said, hey, we're going to read our Bible, that's what you did. You read your Bible. If mom and dad said, if I tell you to do something, you have to do it right then that's exactly what that means. But here's what happens. You started getting in because you're growing older and the world is knocking at your door. And the world is introducing things to you that your mom and dad protected. They built a wall around you and they said, that's not coming into our kids. We don't let them watch Star Wars. We don't let them do Pokemon. We don't let them play the video game. We don't let them do this. We don't let them do that. And your mom and dad built a wall around you, but all of a sudden, the friends and the influences and the media and the communications, the evil communications start corrupting the good manners. And all of a sudden now, a young man or a young lady in their early mid-teens, now something else is wanting to be in charge and have authority over them. And the young man or the young lady is letting them do it. And here it is. Now mom and dad is not here in the center of this young teenager's life. The word of God is not here. A different king is. See how that works? Here's a marriage. Here is a marriage. And the wife looks up to her husband. The husband looks down at his wife. What is he? But he adores his wife. But all of a sudden there's a weakness somehow, some way. And some woman starts exploiting the weakness. And she's never going to knock on the front door and say, hey, can your husband and I go out for a while? That's never going to happen. She's going to come in through a breach. And then all of a sudden now, this woman is going to control this man. Or vice versa. This is so simple, but this is how it works. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. That means the King James Bible is the tree of life. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. The King James authorized, incorruptible word of God is the tree of life. It's a wholesome tongue. But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Did you see that? Perverseness. You know what that is? That's Justin Bieber. He's a pervert, and he sings perverted music. And so does him and Six Pack and Shania and who all these other people? Lady Gaga? music, entertainment, Harry Potter, the comic books, the movies, everything. These are perverseness, and they come in and they breach the spirit. And people think, well, you know, it's just music. I just listen to this and it's not going to hurt them. Baloney. It is. It's designed to hurt them. It's designed to breach inside of the protection that is around your child, around your husband, around your wife, around your church, around your ministry, around your nation. Are we insane in this country that we think that we should just open our borders up and let them just come in? Are we that insane? I think we are. I think this nation has a spirit over them that matches. Let me put this back up on the screen. I think this nation has a spirit on them that matches that. That we have a spirit that says if we let people in from everywhere, they will come in and literally, there will be a new king over America in a short time. I see it coming. Absolutely see it coming. This principle right here works, and the devil knows it. So you're going to go set up a king there right in the midst, and it's different than King Jesus. Watch this. When they came back from Babylonian exile, what was the first thing they knew they needed to do? They had it in their mind, okay, we're going to rebuild the temple. They get to Jerusalem. What do they see? They see the remnants of the wall of protection around Jerusalem. They stopped right there. They stared at it. They said, guys, before we build a temple, we need to fix that wall. Because if we don't fix that wall, we will never get that house built. Our enemies will make sure that we never put another stone in that temple as long as this wall is like this. And I'm telling you people, your first priority, number one, is you. That's your first priority. You are the target. You are the target of the enemy. If he can chip away at you, let's say you're the husband, let's say you're the dad, let's say you're the grandpa, you're the patriarch. If he can chip away at you and get you, the rest of it's going to fall like a house of cards. He's going after you, guys. He's going after you, preachers. He's going after you, men of God, who God assigns as a shepherd responsibility around your church, around your family. Smite the shepherd, and what happens to the sheep? That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do is go after the shepherd. One denomination, one church ministry after another is falling right now. People are becoming so disgusted at churches right now, they wouldn't give you a dollar for a box full of preachers. Why? Because they're vexing and destroying the pastors, the shepherds. The shepherds are not the goal. The sheep are. When David saw what he saw, he was telling Saul what he saw. He said, I was a shepherd, King Saul. A lion and a bear came in. They didn't come after me. They went after the sheep. They knew exactly what to go for. You know what David did? I would love to see this movie. David grabbed that lion by the beard, pulled that lamb out of his mouth, and killed that booger and said, that's my lamb! Or no, that's my father's lamb. You get your teeth off of him. That's what a pastor is supposed to be like, guys. That's what a pastor is supposed to be like. You get back! These are God's lambs. You have no place here. Get out of here. Get off my property. Like I told that dog. Listen, sometimes you got to be mean. You've got to be stern. You've got to be strong. I didn't say all the time you have to be mean. You have to be mean sometimes. You've got to be forceful. You've got to be stern. You've got to use that male voice of yours. You've got to use the authority that God has given you, because the devil is trying to get into the midst of your church, into the midst of your congregation, in the midst of your family, into the midst of your denomination. And so here's what happened. They pull up to Jerusalem, they get out of the car, they look and they see the holes in the wall. And they said, boys, we got to fix this. We can't. There's nothing else that we can do. You put on all the programs you want in your church. You do all the stuff in your family you think is, but I'm telling you, if you will not protect them and keep them protected, you're going to lose them. So they started building. But watch this. And if God lets me, I'm going to preach this Sunday morning. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time with it now. But it came to pass that when Sanballat, and count here, just get a number and that's where I'm going to go. But when it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard, Ashdod, that's Philistines, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired, all of them together, to come and to fight against Jerusalem to do one thing, to hinder it. You stop and think about that and get some wisdom. So here's what happens. When they get to the breaches, then they set up, see these circles? I'd made these graphics myself, by the way. Took me forever. I am not graphically inclined, I tell you. Simple circles is all I know how to do. When they get these breaches, they set up strongholds, principalities, a stronghold of rebellion or pride. Rebellion, pride work together. You will not submit to biblical authority. Ladies, did you hear me? Young people, teenagers, did you hear me? You will not submit to biblical authority. And the devil will send you the right kind of music, the right kind of friends, the right kind of teachers at school. He'll send you everything in the world. He'll give you a nice little package free of charge so that he can set up a stronghold in your life of rebellion and pride. I'm not talking about you forgot to take the trash out one day and you got mad because your mom yelled at you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about learning habits of how to get out of obeying your mom and dad. The devil sets up a stronghold of rebellion and pride in us. Powers. We start listening to the Kenneth Copelands and the Joel Osteens and the Christian leaders who are telling us that we must perform, we must say this, we must do this. You're not saying Yahushua right. We let them teach us these false doctrines, and all of a sudden now the devil has set up a stronghold in your mind that the King James Bible is not right when it says Jesus. It is not right when it says Jehovah. It is not right when it says Lord. It is not right when it says certain things. And so you have a stronghold in your life that grace really isn't the key to salvation, that there are things that you have to perform. Rulers of darkness. If there's one mistake in the Bible, then there might as well be 100,000 mistakes in the Bible. And there are people that you know, there are people who are probably listening to me right now, who you have it in your mind that there are, in fact, Pastor Mike, I agree with you 100%. The King James Bible is the best translation of the Bible. It's a translation, Pastor. Don't you know anything? You're ignorant and unlearned. Translations are not inspired, really. Then what were they doing at Pentecost? What were they doing that Paul was describing in 1 Corinthians 14? What were they doing? What did God promise in Isaiah 28:11? So you've developed this idea. The devil has set up a stronghold in your mind, a repeatable stronghold. See, it's not just you had a doubt one day. I've had doubts before. I have. It's been a long time since I've doubted the Word of God. But I've had doubts before. I'm not talking about that. That is part of the frailty of human flesh. I'm talking about you have a persistent idea, a satanic stronghold in your mind that, yes, it is an accepted fact with me, and it is, to me, it's undeniable that there are mistakes in my Bible. That is a stronghold. That is a ruler of darkness having a stronghold in your life because he is shielding you. He is hiding the light from you. And they've set up a stronghold in your life. And I get up here and I try to say, that's King James Bible. Boy, it's the incorruptible seed. It's perfect. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The words of the Lord are pure words, the silver trodden furnace of earth. Oh, Pastor, man, I like what you was talking about the giants. And you was talking about UFOs. And, you talk about the Illuminati and the Bilderbergs. Boy, I like that stuff. But you get on that King James stuff, and I just can't hardly listen to you. You've got a stronghold in your life. They have set up a nest in your mind. And there are spirits that will not let you believe that the Bible is the Word of God and that it's infallible. It is absolutely correct in its translated form in the King James Bible. You will not let you believe that. Then we get into spiritual wickedness. Fornication, pornography, sodomy. All of these have a spiritual connection. There is a spirit of whoredoms in the Bible. And you name the religion. Just name the religion. In every religion in the world, except Bible Christianity, there is a form of whoredom or adultery or sodomy of some kind that forms the basic tenets of salvation of that particular religion. In Roman Catholicism, it is the sacrament of marriage. In the Mormon Church, it is sacred marriage. In witchcraft and in paganism, it's just fornicating with one another inside of a magic circle. Temple prostitutes have been around since ages past. And I'm telling you, in Eastern mysticism, there are tantric ideas that basically say if you and I do this in the right way and it's a different deal and so on, then that's going to get the kundalini going. And what I'm telling you is that in every religion, somehow, some way, there is a form, a spiritual form of adultery and fornication and perverseness that is one of the basises of their religious idea of salvation. Mark it down. And if you think that your little sideline sin is not hurting anything, then you've got a stronghold built up in your mind. And these guys are strong and you're not. But I want to tell you something. I don't know of anybody who calls themselves a Christian that does not right now currently have at least one of these strongholds. I think Paul had one. Paul mentioned his as pride. because he mentions in 2 Corinthians 12 that for the abundance of the revelations that he had, a thorn was given to him, because Paul would have puffed up. Oh, bless God, I've been with Jesus for 14 years. I know things that you guys don't know. You should listen to me. That was Paul, man. I mean, he was eat up with it. And God gave him a thorn in his flesh to keep him humble. I think Paul dealt with pride. We know from his life and from the scriptures that Paul didn't need a wife, so I don't think he was one of these. We know that Paul's doctrine was good and straight, although at one time it wasn't. We know that Paul was not into religious rituals and things like that. But we know by his own admission that he had pride. And so I think I can safely say that I don't think that there exists a Bible-believing, born-again Christian right now living in the flesh that doesn't have an area of their life either, A, where there are already strongholds, or B, where the devil knows that he can probably build one if he vex it long enough. Does that make sense to everybody? So watch this. Leviticus 26:37. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were, before a sword, when none pursueth, and ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. Joel Osteen has it wrong. Todd Bentley has it wrong. Who are some of these others? Joyce? These top names in Christianity, David, Jeremiah, if they teach you that through mind exercises or through thinking positive thoughts or through doing good things and so on, if they teach you that through the performance of certain ideas or certain things, thought exercises like what we saw with Time Magazine a while ago, if they teach you that through doing stuff that you can have power over your enemies, they're telling you something that is not true. They're telling you a lie is what they're telling you. I know that part of Joel Osteen's book, Your Best Life Now, was, and I happen to know this because an old college buddy of mine preached this in a message. I'm just going, yeah, that sounds like him. He was too lazy to write his own sermon, so he ripped it out of Joel Osteen's book and preached it word for word. That is the idea. If you will transform your thoughts, God will transform your life. How do you do that, Joel? I mean, I can understand, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery, and, you know, it's possible for a husband and wife to live an entire marriage and not be in bed with somebody else. But when you get to that thou shalt not covet thing, boy, that gets us every time, doesn't it? How do you transform your thoughts? When Jesus himself said, which one of you, is there anybody here who can, by thinking about it, add a cubit to your stature? Well, none of us can. Precisely. You can't do it. So one of the ideas to remember is that if you're reading self-help books, close them. If you're going to self-help seminars or a self-help church, stop going. Stop listening. They are setting you up for a fall. And the devil is, and I'll say God is using them to set you up. God uses Babylon as a cup in his hand to pour out drunkenness and madness to this world, to people who only want the drunkenness and the madness. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Why does God send them strong delusion? They didn't want the love of the knowledge of salvation. They didn't want anything to do with it. They don't want that Bible. So God uses these guys to teach them. Now, if you will do this, and here's seven principles that you can do, that you, if you do these things and do them and keep doing them and do them all right, and then keep doing them and don't ever stop doing them, and if you keep doing, then you will be able to have power over your enemies. It's a setup. It's a lie. It's like telling people, okay, now go over to their little place over there, and 10,000 enemy soldiers are going to come in, but I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe that you can defeat every one of them. And the first three guys that come in and you're dead set you up. And you have to think, why did the guy tell me that I could defeat all those enemies? Did he actually know that I couldn't? And if he knew that, why did he send me over there? He sent you over there to let them in. You think that everybody on the inside of Christianity is really a Christian? Not even Judas was. So, number one, rule number one, you have no power against strongholds. You, in your flesh, now, I know that greater is he that is in you than in he that is in the world, and that's where I'm going. But in your flesh, with mind exercises and rituals that you practice, and, oh, hey, I tell you what, I used to really chase after the women until I got the Prayer of Jabez book. And I tell you what, I started reading that, and all of a sudden now I don't want another one. Boy, that book was, boy, that made me, because I pray the prayer three or four times a day, and boy, I just don't have any lust anymore ever. That's a lie. It's a setup. You have no power in your flesh to defeat your own enemies and to eliminate the strongholds. You have no power. That's rule number one. Now, where does the power come from? Isaiah 23:11. He stretched out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. The Lord hath given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof. Did you see that? Look at there. It tells you how to destroy it, or let me say it like this. It tells you what destroys strongholds. What is it? A commandment. You know what? Let's do this. Let's pull up the King James Pure Bible Search software. Let's type in C-O-M-M-A-N-D. Command. Let's see here. We can scroll down here. Commandment. There's commandments in the Old Testament. There is one in particular that I'm looking for. Wait a minute. Let me type it in like this. N-E-W-C-O-M-M-A-N-D-E-N-T. I must have typed it wrong. Don't make fun of me. There it is. John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you love one another. Behold, John 1 John 2:7, behold, brethren, I write no new commandment, but then again a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is light and hateth his brother is in darkness, and even until now. You see, the new commandment that Jesus gave and the one that John wrote about here and here are the same thing. New commandment. What does the word commandment have to do with? If we were to look at C-O-M-M-A-N, and I'll just pick the word out here, commandment. And if I were to look at Psalm, let's go to Psalm 1, here we go. Psalm 119. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Through thy commandments hast made me wiser, or thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I just picked that one out at random. That's pretty cool, isn't it? You have no power against your enemies. However, the word of God does have power against your enemies. And God said that it's his commandment, his word, his doctrine, his statutes, his judgments, those have power to destroy the strongholds thereof. So you, I mean, think about it. Think about it. Think about why the devil hates the pure word of God. Think about why no churches now, I won't say no, there are still a lot of good churches out there that are using the King James. But that explains why churches in droves have abandoned the King James Bible. Why? Because the devil knows that that is the only power against the strongholds that the devil is building. I mean, it just makes sense, doesn't it? Any church who will abide by the standard of the King James Bible and use no other Bible as its source and as its doctrine, as its preaching and teaching, any church that does that will not have a bed on the stage and give a four-part series on sex. They won't do it. Bethel Church doesn't do it. You know why? The Word of God will not allow that stronghold to take root inside of the preaching of this church. Won't let it happen. It's not the bullheaded stubbornness of Mike Hoggard. It's the power of the Word of God that destroys the strongholds. Any church that stands by the absolute final authority of the written Word of God in the 1611 Bible, the authorized version, those churches do not have occult practices. They don't have a yoga class. They don't have a bingo club. You don't hear the preachers talking about having a paradigm shift all the time, about how we're going to enter in a new age and you need to get connected with this and you need to do this. And you won't hear that. You know why? That Bible destroys the strongholds of false doctrines and the rulers of the darkness that want to come in that church and ruin it. That Bible will do it. Well, I'll tell you what, this Bible is, it's wise, it's right, it's good. Jeremiah, I like this one. For thus saith the Lord, behold, he shall fly as an eagle and shall spread his wings over Moab. I gotta do this. This is one of my favorite things to do. Let me show you what the wings of God look like. See that? Oh, preacher, I don't believe in that. Really? Let me show you a little verse here. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. What do I trust? What have I put my confidence in? Where have I found my resting place? What is it that protects me in my life? I love it. I love it. You say, well, okay, I'm not convinced yet. What was it that landed on Jesus' shoulder when he came up out of the River Jordan? The Holy Spirit as a what? Dove. The Holy Spirit. Jesus said, my words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. So go back and look at this verse again. It's cool. For thus saith the Lord, behold, he shall fly as an eagle, and he shall spread his wings over Moab. Kerioth is taken. By the way, do you know what Iscariot means? Iscariot means son of Kerioth. Kerioth is taken, and the strongholds are surprised. And the mighty men's hearts in Moab, what are mighty men? The mighty men's hearts in Moab at that day shall be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. Why? Because God's going to spread his wings over Moab. You watch this. You come to a realization in your life that the devil has got strongholds over you in your life, and you've been trying, you've been trying to beat it. You've sworn, you've said, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to go around those people anymore. I'm not going to listen to that music anymore. I'm going to quit watching that TV show. I'm going to quit doing this. I'm going to quit doing that. By golly, if it takes all year long, I make a new year resolution. I'm going to quit doing all the stuff that's hurting me and hurting my marriage and hurting my family. I'm going to quit doing all that stuff. Really? And you realize that you have no power over the enemy, and he's built strongholds in your life, and God tells you, listen, God drilled this in me one day. God put me down in front of my king. This was back before I settled on the King James Bible. God put my head down in that book, tears in my eyes, pouring my heart out to God, begging God for mercy, asking God for help. Had no other person to talk to, no other place to go. No one, nothing. Couldn't change myself, couldn't fix myself if I wanted to, and I wanted to. And God put me on that book, and he spread his wings over my life. And he told all them devils, go on, get out of here. He's mine. He has come under my shelter. He's abiding in my shadow. You cannot touch him. That's what God did for me. And all of a sudden, boom, strongholds just being busted up all over the place. Strongholds at that time, I still had in my mind that the King James Bible had mistakes in it. It wasn't until a couple years later that God finally said, Mike, are you ready now? You ready for this one? Yeah, God, what you got? King James Bible's Word of God. No mistakes in it. I believed it. Instantly, I believed it. You know why? I put myself under the wings and the shadow of Almighty God, and he was protecting me, and those wings destroyed the stronghold of not believing that book. You know what I told Brady and Bradley Crum all the years that they were mixed up in the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormon Church? You know what I kept telling them, guys? Close up them books, stay away from them halls, and get your King James Bible out and just start reading. That's all I told them. That's all I had to tell them. I took some videos over to them, videotapes. Remember the first time I ever met them? I couldn't tell them apart. It was like two nickels sitting there. Couldn't tell them apart for nothing. 16 years old. And I told them right then, God, here's the tapes, but here's what I'm going to tell you. Put everything else away and read the King James Bible. And just read it, and then read it some more, read it some more, read it some more. You know what? Bradley was first, and then Brady. And God saved both of those boys without a word from me by the King James Bible. God, they decided to put themselves under the trust of the wings of Almighty God. And God protected them, and God broke the stronghold of the Mormon Church and the Jehovah's Witness cult and the Mormon cult. God destroyed the stronghold of disbelief in their life. You ask Brady, which version do you use? King James Bible. Boy, this Bible's right. It is right, and the devil hates it, and he'll hate you for standing for it. He'll try to attack you. He'll persecute you. He'll vex you. He'll surround you with people that will belittle you and lie to you and act like they're their friends and they have concern for you and the way you're going. And family members say, well, you need to quit listening to Mike Hoggard. You know, he's kind of getting your mind a little twist a little bit. You're starting to believe that King James stuff. And everybody knows that's a cult. Everybody knows that King James onlyism is a cult. Well, I read a website that said that the other day. You ought to read this website. Now, read this website now and watch this YouTube video of this guy make fun of the King James Bible so you'll get your head on straight. And if you stop listening to me, I'm fine. All I'm going to tell you to do is when you leave me, take your King James Bible with you, because I promise you, you're going to need it. I promise you, you will. Micah, well, I got a switch here, don't I? Micah chapter 5, verse 10, it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots. And I will cut off the cities of thy land and throw down all thy strongholds. I will cut off witchcrafts. Look at that. Look at that. I will cut off witchcrafts out of thy hand. Do you think witchcraft is a stronghold? And thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee. See that? The midst of thee. You see it? And thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands, and I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee. So, and I want you to look at the words here. God says, yes, there are strongholds in your life. Yes, there is a vile thing in the midst of thee. Yes, there is. While you sit there in denial, you listen to me, preacher. While you sit there in your pompous denial that you don't struggle, God is desperately trying to tell you, you're lying to yourself and you're lying to me, and I don't appreciate it. While you sit there and say, Hoggard must have problem. I mean, he's, you know, he sounds like he's this, and he's, you know, this and that and the other. Bless God. I mean, I don't. It's not me. Well, I can't admit that I have problems. My church thinks I'm godly. My church thinks I don't do anything wrong. And I can't let them know that. I didn't say you had to let your church know. I just think you have to let yourself know. God's looking at you and he said, well, of course there's strongholds in your life. Of course there's an evil thing in the midst of you. Paul said there was. Paul said there was one in him. Paul said, in me, that is in my flesh, Joel, it's no good thing. And he said, I've been trying to get rid of it for years, and it won't go anywhere. And everything that I want to do, I don't do. And everything that I don't want to do, that's what I do. Why? Because I got a nasty, evil thing inside of me. So God's looking at you guys, and while you're in denial, you need to be in de-Amazon. That's the opposite of denial. And while you're in denial, the Holy Ghost is desperately trying to convict you and get a hold of you and say, look, it's not as good as you, not as good and rosy as you think it is. It's not as good and rosy as you present yourself to your church or to your family. It's not that way. And so God says, of course there's strongholds in your life. Of course there are. Who do you think allowed them to be there? God said, I did. I allowed them to be there. Why? Because I want you to go back and I want you to look at this verse. You need to get it, preacher, deacon, church member, dad, mom. You need to get this. If you think that I've been sitting here for 2 days now, for 4 hours, trying to convince you that you can do this, I believe in you, brother, you can do it. I had Pastor Reg tell me one time, the Bible is not a self-help book. It's not. Watch what this verse says. God said, it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee. I will destroy thy chariots. I will cut off the cities of thy land. I will cut off witchcraft out of thine hand. Thy graven images also will I cut off. Thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt have no more worship of the work of thine hands. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst, so I will destroy thy cities. God said, I'll do it. Not you. You can't do it. But I can. And I will. I think it'd be a good study for you to let me pull it up here. Go to the software. Let me do this real quick. And just study the word, I will. 1,921 times in the King James Bible. Maybe that'll cut out into some of your TV time, but I think it'll be worth it. But primarily, number one, Lucifer says, I will, I will, I will. But you study, especially in the prophecies, and the prophets, all the times where God says, I will, I will, I will, I will. You cannot destroy the strongholds, people. You've probably tried it. And you can't do it. But God says, I will. I will. Boy, I'm having fun here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, too. Through God, if it's not through God, it's not. To the pulling down of strongholds. Here it is. Imaginations is a stronghold. Remember that commercial we showed a while ago? You can imagine a land where dragons rule. You can imagine a land where giants run and giants stand over everybody. You can imagine a land where a queen rules over everything. And I'm going, oh, I get that. And if you and the thing said, if you just imagine it now, we're going to make it become reality. Aha! It's going to happen. Get ready, everybody, because they're going to imagine. And God said the imagination is where all the strongholds are. I mean, let's just talk about it for a minute. So you did look at your neighbor's wife. You did look at your neighbor's husband. Or you were looking at your neighbor's daughter or whatever. Or you looked at some gal on the internet. Where did you first commit adultery with her? In your imagination. You saw a tool at work that you knew cost a lot of money, and you've always wanted one, but didn't have one, and didn't have the money or didn't want to spend the money on it. But there was a tool at work, and the company had ordered 12 too many of them. They surely wouldn't miss one. So where are you going to work? Where do you work all this out in your mind at? Your imagination lays out a blueprint for how you're going to take that tool home, and the company will never miss it, and they'll never know who did it. That's where it starts. Always starts with the weaker side of your mind. That's where the strongholds get built in. They get built in the imaginations. You see yourself as being the head of the company, and you stop at nothing to get there. That plan launched in your imagination. So why is it all these churches are teaching in their church training programs and their youth training programs and their VBSs and their Awanas and everything else in their Sunday school literature? Why is it they're teaching these kids and these adults to open up the creativity part of their mind and the imagination? Imagine God doing this. Imagine God. Imagine you at the Red Sea and God on the other side, and then imagine God building a bridge over the Red Sea. That is not what the imagination is against the knowledge of God. Where does it all start? Where do the false doctrines start? They start with the dreams and the imaginations. False doctrines never come out of the Bible. The dreams and the imaginations dream up the false doctrine, and then they try to make the Bible say it, usually by changing it. But it all starts with the imagination. That's where your stronghold is. Casting down imagination. So quit reading. That's why I tell you, quit reading self-help books. Quit reading self-help books and going to self-help seminars and listening to, I used to listen to them Amway tapes all the time. Amway tapes tell you how you can make more sales, how you can think of yourself as better, and how you ought to. Dexter Yeager went around telling everybody that even if you couldn't afford it, you need to drive a Cadillac, you need to have big wad of bills float that people would see it, you need to act like you're filthy rich even if you're not. That's imaginatory. That's imaginative wealth. Kenneth Copeland says the same thing. He says, if you got a toaster and it breaks, throw it away. Go buy a new one. If you have it fixed, try to keep it to fix it. That's poverty thinking. You just imagine now that you have enough money to go out and buy a new one and go buy a new one. That's where it all starts. He said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How do you do that? You do not bring thoughts into captivity by reading Playboy, or watching Ellen, or watching romances, or reading books. You don't put them, you don't capture them, you don't bring them under submission. You're letting them free. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. God says, quit reading that smut. Okay, God, I'll quit reading it. What are you going to do with the book? I won't save it for later. I won't feel guilty later on. You know what he told you to do? Quit reading it. And then he said, have vengeance on it. You know how you do that? Burn it, throw it away, get rid of it, do whatever it is you can, and don't get access to it anymore. Boy, this Bible is right. Can I get an amen? I got to hurry. Psalm 60, verse 2. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof. So watch this. God's got to destroy the strongholds. He's going to destroy the strongholds with the power of the Word of God. And in Psalm 60, he's going to heal the breaches. You know what he's going to do? He's going to fix it where they can't build strongholds there anymore. I want to keep talking about this, but I got to move on. I got to give you scripture. I want to give you scripture, and that way the Word of God will be right, all right? Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. And the day that the Lord, who did it? The Lord bindeth up the breach of his people, not you. You cannot bind the breach. The Lord binds the breach and healeth the stroke of their wound. I mean, stop and think about a wound. A wound is a breach in the skin. What is the danger? Listen, watch this. Listen to this now. What is the danger of an open wound? Infection. An outside enemy getting into the wound, and it sets up a stronghold there, doesn't it? See, boy, I'm telling this Bible, man. So we have a wound here. We have an open wound, and the enemy comes in and sets up a stronghold there. There's a big, big red infection there, and it's red hot. And then what happens? You start seeing streaks going up your arm. You know what that is? That is the stronghold taking over to kill the whole body. God's going to bind up to see what do? When we get wounded, we bind it up. God said he's going to bind up the breach of his people. He's going to heal the stroke of their wound. Read Job 5. God is the one who wounded, and then he binds up. He heals it by binding it up. It's a layer of protection over the open wound. That's what you do. You got a breach in the skin. You put a layer of protection over it to seal it in. And God says, and by the way, you don't have to tell that. Now heal your, now I got to think positive thoughts now so I can heal this thing. You don't have to do that. God built it in to your DNA, into his book. It's built in there. God, it's going to heal it. You got white blood cells for that. By the way, white, purity. Isaiah 58:12, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt see, that's what they were doing in Nehemiah's day. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Who's the repairer of the breach? Jesus Christ is. If you don't have Christ as, I mean, the Lord of your life, if you don't have him there, he cannot and will not repair the breach. You're trying to do it yourself. You can't do it. Why don't you just stop and let God do it? And I promise you on the authority of the Word of God, in God's time, he'll do it. I promise you. One more verse. Amos 9:11. Well, here's a 9:11 for you. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen and close up the breaches thereof. And here it is. I will raise up the tabernacle of David. I will close up the breaches, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Not you. God said, I'll do it. Won't tell you what I have had. Probably more fun and more blessings. I personally have been more blessed, not by my preaching, not by my teaching, but by the Word of God. I needed this. I just felt like sharing it with everybody. I hope it's a blessing. If you're mad at me, I'll be honest with you, I don't get it. I don't know. Some of you mad because I'd use the word King and James in the same sentence together. Just try
for one day.
You try for one day of your life to assume that every word in the King James Bible is right and read it that day. You just try it one day. Okay? I dare you. I can't lose. Hey, love you. God bless you. Watchmen video broadcast coming out. Part 2 of Back to the Future. Part 87 and a half of whatever it is we've been working on. And preaching Sunday morning. God bless you. We love you. We will see you later. I know you sent a lot of emails in. Don't stop. Okay? Don't stop. Be persistent. And I can't get to all of them. I'll try to do what I can. All right, I love you. See ya.